What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Jeff Condren. Jeff is a CFP and Senior Vice President and Wealth Advisor at Mesro Wealth Advisors. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got directly into the need to have difficult but really important conversations with clients and how to actually go about them so that they're impactful. We talked about the role that personal preference plays in financial planning, regardless of whether or not it fits into the established rule book. For example, just because you are a young investor doesn't mean you should be aggressive, and just because you are a more seasoned investor doesn't mean you should be conservative. We talked about the importance of prioritization in the financial planning process and not trying to do everything all at once. And then, of course, we close with a great difference-making tip that I know you're going to love. Let's go. Jeff, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right. Well, this is a fun one, and hopefully I stump you here. Today is actually my wedding anniversary. I am the grandson of a Hall of Famer, and I was in a serious bicycle accident on September 9th, 1999, otherwise known as 9999.
Wow. Well, that's extremely specific. Grandson of a Hall of Famer, and today's your wedding anniversary. What did you get your wife, Jeff?
So we have an idea to exchange ornaments every year. Okay. So being in the north suburbs of Chicago, I got her a nice Lou Malnati's gift box ornament.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, right.
That was kind of cheating on my part. I shouldn't have asked that. So
no, it's okay.
All right. Bike and then a bike accident on something involving lots of nines.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to guess that the bike accident is the lie.
No, that did happen. Yeah. Yeah. I know. So the lie is actually today is not my wedding anniversary, but I did actually buy my wife that ornament. So hopefully she doesn't hear this till after I've given it to her. And my grandfather is a Hall of Famer, but not in the sense you would expect. He sold candy for a living and is in the Candy Hall of Fame in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Let's go. Dominant. Wow. Candy Hall of Fame for selling candy.
He has a trading card. He has a plaque in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I mean, the whole ordeal.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And stuff like this, it's fun to talk about.
I love everything about that. Is he still with us?
He is not, unfortunately. But my son carries on his name, so.
Okay, good, good. And does he like candy?
Candy is a big staple in our family, unfortunately. We do our best to hide it, but I think we still have some Halloween candy lingering around and under pillows in my kids' rooms, that sort of thing. So we do our best, but candy is definitely a favorite.
I swear to God, my 6-year-old has the biggest sweet tooth, and it's like he just like ate a bowl of cereal. It's Tuesday, and he's asking me for dessert. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Doesn't stop in our house.
All right. Well, we had a fun conversation about Grandpa and the wedding anniversary. Let's have a not so fun one about a bike accident.
Yeah. So I was in high school at the time and was doing a science project and borrowed a friend's bike. Don't want to get too far into it, but fell off the bike. Had to be taken to the ER. To add to it, my parents were traveling, so my sister had legal guardianship over me, which thankfully my parents did and took care of because I wasn't 18 yet. She was. They were out of the state. You know, it's one of those steps you take that you never think you would have to use. Thankfully, they did, because otherwise there would have been like a state to take care of me. There was no other family around, kind of thing. But it was very serious. I have scarred to this day from the accident. And it happened on that day is just like one of those random numerical days that there's a lot of things about that day I remember that for no other reason other than that bicycle accident.
We live in infamy forever. What are your parents doing being so proactive and responsible?
So, you know, it's funny. Their anniversary, they were traveling for their anniversary. And so they went to Florida. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. They went to Florida. And for whatever reason, they go, you know, your younger brother's in high school, just in case we're going to do this. And of course, being the teenager, I had no idea what any of this meant at the time. Now it's one of those things where I talk to clients about it and bring up like, oh, your child's going to college. Have you thought about doing a healthcare power of attorney? And they go, no, we don't need that. He's an adult. I go, right. He's an adult or she's an adult. What happens if an accident happens to them? And they go, oh, well, we're their parent. I go, but not if you don't have the power of attorney over them to let the doctors know that you can make these decisions for them. And it's sometimes a difficult conversation, and not the children don't always understand the importance of it. But when you can make it personal and can give that story of, hey, here's what happened to me, and thankfully my sister had this, they go, oh, wow, we'll pay to get that just in case. So it is not always a fun conversation to have, but an important one to have.
And you have those kinds of conversations all the time.
Kind of, yeah. So when I work with clients, I remind them that some of the most important decisions in their life have nothing to do with stocks. And this is a perfect example when I'm meeting with someone and we go through things and, you know, hey, do you have healthcare power of attorneys? Do you have financial power of attorneys? We kind of go down that route. A lot of people in my industry want to go through and say, well, should I own Apple? Should I own Nvidia? Are we in an AI bubble? Gold's up 35% this year or whatever it is. Should I own that? And I just kind of take the step back, and it seems simple at first, but I'm like, why? Why do you want to own gold? Why are you worried about Nvidia? If you're outspending your portfolio, it doesn't matter what Nvidia's next quarter is. It doesn't matter, you know, what your asset allocation is. And it's the same thing. Like, okay, so I have all of the financial portfolio taken care of. I'm good. I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need a trust. Okay, you have children. What happens if you go? What happens if this? Who do you want to be the guardians of your children? God forbid you and your spouse die. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, my family knows this or my family knows that. I go, they might know it, but that's not a legal document saying that. I've used my own example where when I first got married and we had children, my brother-in-law had no kids. And so at the time, we're like, I don't know that I want my brother-in-law to be the guardian of my own children. But the closest family we had was back in Cincinnati. And so we have since gone and updated it. But it was one of those conversations my wife and I had to have together, which was, okay, God forbid something happens to us. Who do we want to take care of? Our 5-year-old, our 3-year-old, and now we have a third. But it is one of those hard conversations they have. And that has nothing to do with the stock market.
It's so interesting, the things that we are attracted to, the things that are interesting. It's the shiny, it's Nvidia, it's Apple, whatever, Bitcoin, right. You know, gold. Right. But we don't necessarily want to do the laundry and have to cut the grass, which is all the other important stuff that you're talking about.
Right. Well, and around the office, I've kind of gotten this view that some people view me as a contrarian at times, because I don't go start talking about the investment portfolio. I don't go in and go, okay, you're 50-50. We can improve your performance. We can do this. We can do that. I might start and say, well, what's your savings account at? What do you have? I work with clients who have next to no savings and are completely comfortable with it. I have clients who have millions of dollars in savings and are always worried that the market's going to turn. Now, being a certified financial planner, a CFP, there's always those textbook answers on, hey, with expenses, you should have 3 to 6 months covered. So for the client that has well in excess of that, am I supposed to tell them they're wrong and you shouldn't do this? Well, that helps them sleep at night. So, you know, going and telling them they're doing something wrong when they feel more comfortable being like that, you know, as long as we have the honest conversation with each other about, like, do you understand what you're giving up? Do you know what what this means by not having it invested? Yep, we do. We understand. Great. As long as you're comfortable, I can be comfortable with you. Same thing with the client who has no savings. Hey, if you have an emergency, where are you pulling this money from? If the proverbial tree falls on the house, where are you going to cover that cost? And it does get interesting at times that this has nothing, again, to go back to, it has nothing to do with picking a stock or picking the right allocation, things like that. And along those same lines, the biggest thing I see with a lot of clients, especially those with kids who are getting to college age, is paying for college. And this is always a long conversation, which is the parents wanting to pay for their child's education. You know, right or wrong, and this could be another conversation for another time, an 18-year-old has the ability to borrow $400,000 to go pay for college. If you are getting ready to retire and are at, let's make up a number, $1.6 million, and you wanted to have a $2 million retirement plan when you're 65, 70, no bank is just going to lend you $400,000 so you can say you did this, right? Again, this has nothing to do with picking stocks, but those decisions on how much you're going to pay for a child's education is going to have ramifications. And kind of like working out, it's not going to be something you see right away. It's going to be something you realize 5-10 years down the line.
And I love having the approach of just asking a question. It's like, I think I should have gold, or why aren't I invested in XYZ? Instead of telling them, you allow them to sort of figure it out on their own.
Right. I mean, clients come to us for our expertise. And I also have no problem saying, hey, Jeff, can you tell me about XYZ stock? You know, that's not one I'm familiar with. Let me do some research. Let me get back to you. I feel like a lot of days people want that instant answer, right? I can go on the web, I can search it, I can go to an AI and get an answer. Doesn't mean that's going to be the right answer for you and your situation. And so by taking that step back and go, well, let's have a conversation about it, kind of resets the framework around, hey, what am I ultimately trying to accomplish here? Is it, hey, I just have some play money and I just want to do something fun. So when I go out with friends on the weekend, I can talk about that I bought the stock that went up 30%. Great. You know, put whatever you're comfortable potentially losing. Is it, I need this to fund my retirement? Well, let's not play with that the same way.
I suppose to a degree, we're talking about critical thinking, because today I can go on my phone and get an answer to any Correct. Question, but it doesn't mean it's the right answer or the right answer for me.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what's good and bad about the society we live in is, you know, you want to call it the second wave of information technology, the fact that we can go get everything so quickly. But again, without knowing, and this is going to be for the technology firms out there to solve, right? Where's that answer coming from? Is it coming from a public site like a Wikipedia, a Reddit? Is it coming from maybe a more trusted news source like a Financial Times, Wall Street Journal? You know, without having that, where it's pulling that information from can ultimately lead people down a path they don't intend to take. And again, they may not realize it till they're too far down and go, oh man, I really screwed up and it's, you know, I shouldn't have done this 6 months ago, a year ago. Now they're having the conversation with me and it's like, okay, this is still recoverable. We can still get back on track with things. But the next time you want to have a conversation or want to buy the next stock or make the next decision, like, let's talk, let's get together. This is what you're paying us for.
To have that expertise, but also a sounding board and somebody to bounce things off of.
Right. It's critical. And, you know, again, there's so many different areas and things matter to clients in different ways. One client might want to pay for 100% of their children's college. The next client might have said, well, I had to work my entire college, so I want my children to work. So being able to have that conversation and meet the client where they're at and what they're looking to do and what does that mean in 5 or 10 years, 20 years down the line, right? We want to make sure we're clear on their retirement path and what it means for them and how these decisions today may change that trajectory, positive or negative, if they decide to do something. Hey, we really want to buy that second house in, you know, wherever, Florida, Arizona, California, Colorado, you know, whatever it is. Great. How much are you thinking about spending? Are you going to pay all cash? Are you going to mortgage any of it? What does this mean for the child's education? Are you looking to pay for, you know, their weddings or maybe help your children with a first home down payment? You know, you go through all of this. And I think we saw a lot of it. I'll use kind of like the 2020 to 2022 timeframe where we saw a lot of adult clients help their adult children buy houses, right? The housing markets were moving so fast that if you didn't come in with an all cash offer right away, you were likely missing it. But again, there was the conversation of, is the child going to pay you back? Is this going to be a formal loan where there's documents that if anything were to happen, is it an informal conversation with the family and we're keeping it off the book? I mean, there's a lot of risks and rewards for that too. But again, it's having that conversation of let's do this, right? There is no spontaneous decision-making when you work with an advisor like myself.
Yeah, there's immense value there for sure, because we can't see around corners. And you've obviously had these conversations thousands of times, and it's the first time that they are having it by themselves or with their family. So I appreciate that. I have a tendency to want to boil the ocean and do everything, but clients Sure. have planning tolerance. And so how do you think about like trying to do everything, or you segment things off?
Yeah, so it's definitely one of those, especially in the beginning, we kind of ask for like, what are your priorities with this money? Is it the retirement plan first? Is it college first? Is it taking care of mom and dad, right? The adult parent who's 56 years old and their parents are 70, 80, 90, you know, where are we starting and what do you need the help with first? Okay, I need help with the Medicare with my mom or healthcare. Whether full-time or a care facility. Okay, great. Here's what we've seen other clients do. Here are some places we can recommend. I need help filling out the FAFSA for my college 529. I know we may not do it because we're not going to get any money is the wrong answer. You should absolutely continue to fill it out. You never know if getting another scholarship requires you to just have that form filled out. So we like to meet the clients where they are and say, okay, great. based off this first conversation, we think these are your top five priorities in order. Great. The next time we meet, we're going to tackle one or one and two only. And we're going to go in depth on that at that time frame. And then from there, it's how frequently do they want to meet to tackle the rest of the topics? Is it, we want to talk every month? Great. The 15th at 10 a.m., we'll meet you on Zoom and we'll go topic by topic till you feel comfortable. And if we need to reschedule, we'll reschedule. Is it, hey, I want to do a once a quarter. I want to hit one of the topics, but I want to keep an eye on my portfolio. Again, it's meeting them where they are. And also with that, Zoom versus in person. There's clients in the local area who still prefer Zoom over coming in person. They go, well, why would I spend 15 minutes in the car there and 15 minutes on the car ride home? Happy to meet over Zoom. And I'm like, great, we'll meet you there. But if you ever want to meet in person, we're happy to do that as well.
It's amazing that we have the ability to meet people where they are, both in emotionally, intellectually, and, physically as well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
That's really funny. I hadn't thought about that. And it's, you know, it's obvious that as you're talking, that we would start, that you would start with whatever the top priority is.
Correct.
Do people normally have that, or do you have to suss it out of them? Does it depend?
Yes. Sometimes there's obvious ones. I have a concentrated stock. I work for ABC Public Company. I constantly bought the stock for the last 20, 30 years. Now it's 60, 70% of my portfolio. I never intended for it to get this big. What do I do now? Right. That's like an easy one. Or I'm 60, 62, 64 retirement. That light is right there. Let's talk. Okay. Clearly is that, but there are some times where clients come in and they go, you know, I've done it myself. I think I've done okay. I don't really know if I've done well. I've never really worked with someone before. I'm kind of nervous turning this over because I've done it for 30 years. And there is kind of that, you have to meet them where you are, right? You, from a character standpoint, does the communication work? Are they authentic? Do they think I'm authentic? Do they understand what it means to work with a CFP? But there's also the competence side, right? How does my knowledge of my experience and from the textbook relate to them? Do I have the right tools to answer their questions? Do they feel safe in this environment to meet me, whether in person, you know? And it's hard to get those building blocks with someone if they are kind of like holding a little back, but it just takes that time. And there are often times where if I can kind of tell in the beginning, maybe they're not as comfortable with me, maybe they're comfortable with my, we call client relationship specialist, they're more comfortable with her. I will turn to her and say, run the meeting. I will join you, but there's a clear, they are attaching to you more than me for whatever reason that might be. No ego. We're a team. Let's go approach this together. And that works sometimes pretty well too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have the ability to communicate with people however they like to be communicated with. And you have a team of people that are maybe better suited for certain clients than others. So I think that's right. A beautiful thing.
Right, right.
Well, Jeff, you've given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Yeah, it's very simple, and it kind of goes back to a little bit of that contrarian. Don't do things just because the textbook says it's the way to be done. And it sounds so simple. And I'll give one other kind of like easy example, your asset allocation. Just because you're X years old does not mean you take 100 minus X, and that's your equity portfolio, and then everything else should be in fixed income. I work with many people who are under the age of 40 who are predominantly, if not entirely, fixed income because they have high paying, high risk, high reward type jobs and they don't want to risk their investment portfolio. And on the other side, I have elderly clients who have said, I have more than enough money. This is money for the next generation or the one after that. I want to stay invested in the equity markets because I know over the long haul, that's going to provide more than buying fixed income. But again, if you went by the textbook and said, well, this client's 85, they should be, you know, mostly entirely fixed income. Oh, well, this client's 35, they should be mostly entirely equity, is not always the case. And work with someone who understands that they're going to work with you and not just do things by the textbook.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on. Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Somebody could be 70 years old and they still have 30 plus years to be in retirement. So can we afford to be out of the stock? You know, so
right.
The rule book out the window.
Yeah, we remind those clients, especially when retirement comes along, you are retiring. You are not dying. You need some equity exposure.
Yeah, love it. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Of course. The best way to reach me is at our website, mesirow.com. That's M-E-S-I-R-O-W.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jeff your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good idea. Go to Mesirow.com, M-E-S-I-R-O-W.com, and check out everything that they're working on and get in touch with Jeff. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thanks, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.